And does anybody remember where I keep the key for the toolbox? Where do I keep it? The hand went up, but the brain didn't catch up with it. Where is that key?
In the hands?
Do you remember?
It's in the Bible.
You're right, it's in my hands, and it's in the Bible. You're both right. There it is. Well, pull that out there for me, please. Pull that out there. There we go. There's the key. And I have my toolbox over there, and I'm just going to slide it over here. We're going to have a look. Now, I bring tools. You guys know what tools are, right? You use dad's screwdrivers and hammers. Do you have some tools at home? Do you use your dad's tools? Yeah, like skill saws and stuff. I think you would, or cordless drills. They're fun. But this is a different tool. When you're working, especially on the island right now, or near Thessalon, if you're a carpenter and you're working on a cabin or on a camp, I would suggest you have one of these. Yeah, one of those hats. You know what that hat's for? You know why it's that color? Why?
It's 18, so you have to get shot in the head.
So you don't get shot. So you wear that when you go hunting. It's perfect. When you go hunting with your dad, you go up. Oh, that is so nice. Yeah. You see? That's so that people can see you out there when they're hunting. They got rifles and bullets can fly out there. It really shows up. And so, and also, if you got lost. Hi there. How are you? If you got lost, people looking for you, they can spot that pretty quickly. So it's really great. Now, the Bible says there's something for us, not for our heads, but that goes in our hearts and will never be lost again. In fact, God knows where we are all the time, but He really knows we have something in our hearts, someone in our hearts, we can never be lost again. Do you know who that person is?
You sure do.
Who is it? It's God. It's God's Son, Jesus. God, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And once we have Jesus in our hearts, it's like, have that hat on. We're never out of sight. He's always got his eye on us and caring for us. Like that. That's right. Let's pray. And I take my hat off and I pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these boys and girls. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, who we can have in our hearts and we can know that He cares for us and is with us always, and we're never alone, we're never lost. Thank you. Be with these boys and girls as they go to Sunday school and encourage them and let them hear more about their stuff. Amen. Can I put it back in there? Okay, thank you very much for your time. We bring you greetings from the mainland, from the saints at Thessalon Bible Chapel. And we hear about your work here on the island. Once in a while, some of the youth will come back and say what's been going on. We hear from others, too, who have brought news. And we're to give thanks to the Lord for you, for your work in the gospel here on the island and in the area. And you're an encouragement to us. This morning, we were hearing about the youth work and the kids' clubs and the shoe boxes and different things going on. But all week we were, today we move away from that, don't we? And we just turn our focus to Him. We want to drink from His Word this morning and hear about what the Lord Jesus has for us. We want to remember that our everything, as we talked about this morning, to give thanks for everything, our very next breath, our very next heartbeat belong to Him. We need to be reminded of that.
All the things that I love and hold dear to my heart are His sorrow. They're not mine at all. Jesus, oh, remind me, dear Lord. my dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of discharging His hand. Jesus chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loves me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where from and where I could have been. But just remember, I'm a human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm a human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, dear Lord. I'd rather Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be held by His nail-scarred hand than to be a king of the vast domain, or be held in sin-stricken sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than bands of loss. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin-stricken sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
And the world tries to trick us and get our attention away, doesn't it? Lately, and over the past several months, I've been working on a more sophisticated, I thought, more efficient calendar. Do you remember the day when everything you needed to know was on the fridge, in a little square on the calendar for that day? But now it seems like everything won't fit in there anymore, so I've been working to try to get something that would work on my phone, but would get on the computer, and maybe on the tablet. And all for all I know, it's probably on your devices too. I don't know where it's gone up there. But it's either one of two things. Either I've become so important that I need one of these things, or the enemy has tricked me, like everyone else, thinking we've got to busy ourselves and fill all our time and fill those squares so that we would not turn our attention to the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful He's given us an example this first day of the week to come together and to slow it down and just to focus on Him.
Lately it seems I find myself falling behind the times. faster I go, the further it seems that I fall behind. Oh, I long for the days by the river, when time would slowly roll by, when life was old so simple, and with just one line at a time. Now I feel an urgency, and it pulls at my soul and mind, and it has to do with eternity and who will be left behind. Won't you come to that main fire river, where the streets are paved with gold? We'll sit and listen to the Savior, then we'll never grow tired or old. By the river, where the streets are paved with gold, we'll sit and listen to the Savior, then we'll never grow tired or old. Lately it seems I find myself falling behind these times. Time has come for the world to fade, to turn our hearts to the one who came, get his life that we might be washed and clean. Free indeed. So come, O Spirit, on this place. Touch each heart with your love and grace. Heal the soul and set it free. Washed and cleansed. And free indeed.
Washed and cleansed,
free indeed.
If you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at a simple passage of Scripture today, and really, is any passage of Scripture simple? It speaks deeply to our hearts, doesn't it? Each passage is profound, and we can learn so much from God's Word. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I'm so glad to be here this morning. We come to the island fairly regularly. Actually, we come and we meet friends here for fish. I won't say what restaurant we go to because I don't want to advertise or promote anything. But the fish is pretty good. But it's nothing compared to the fish and chips at Beachy's Restaurant, the end of Thorburn Road, St. Philip's Harbor, Newfoundland. It is nothing like it. It is known for the best, that restaurant is known for the best fish and chips you'll ever find. And I can attest to it. It's the best I've ever had. Now, when you go there, it is the only place in the harbor. It's a restaurant right over top of the water. It sits out on the rock edge there. And every seat in that restaurant looks out over the harbor. Belle Isle, right out in front of you. Fishing boats, right out in front. And if you're fortunate to be there on a day having lunch, you may see a couple of whales swim right by. Every seat in the house faces the water. It's just wonderful. And the boat's fishing, if you're there long enough, you're probably going to eat, in a few minutes, some of the cod that are going to come right back behind the restaurant, the little harbor behind there, and they're going to come. That's how fresh it is. You can't beat it. And the friendliness, it is down east. It is home warmth. You go in there and you're going to be welcomed. The view is wonderful. I remember one time I was there on my own. I was by myself. A guy was in front of me, standing up, looking at the board behind, trying to figure out. Now, the waitress waiting on him, standing there waiting to take the order, she's probably figuring out, does he want the halibut or the cod? That's your choices. And he's looking and looking, and he looks down to the corner, a little scribble down here in the corner of the board, and he says, what's the chicken like? Now, listen now. She says to him, my sonny boys, don't tell me you comes all this way for chicken. This is a wonderful place. We're always greeted warmly here. The view around the island is great. And I'm sure if we had a meal together, it would be a good meal and we'd have good conversation even this morning already. But don't tell me that's all you came for this morning. Because that's not what the Church of Jesus Christ is known for. What they serve, what is the top of the order here, and what is the best on the menu is the gospel. And that's what Island Bible Chapel is known for. That's what God wants his people to be known for. Don't tell me you came here for the fish and chips. You came here to hear from the Word of God, and that's what we're going to look at this morning as we come to the Gospel of Luke. We want to look and see just one portion there in chapter 13. So you can go ahead and turn to chapter 13 in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to get ready to look at just a few verses there this morning. But just as before a meal we give thanks, why don't we just give thanks ahead of time before we eat, drink and taste from the Word of God here. Father God, we thank you in advance. We haven't even looked or tasted this Word yet, but we know it'll be good for us. We know that you want us to have this meal this morning from your Word, that it might nourish our spiritual bodies. So Lord, guide us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Jesus, help us to take it, eat, and to put it to use in our bodies and in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you know a little bit about the Gospel of Luke, when I say the Gospel of Luke, it's not Luke's Gospel, and yet we say that. There's only one Gospel. There are four writers. Each has a unique style, and Luke has a style that I'm accustomed to. I just feel more of a connection with Luke, and maybe it's because he's a Gentile writer, maybe the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. He's not an apostle. We don't know that Jesus, we're not told that Jesus talked to Luke face to face, that Luke met Jesus. But we know that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things down that he had heard from Paul, from Peter, from some of the other apostles. And he tells us in his book, in the opening, in the first chapter, he says that he came to speak to us about the Lord Jesus. He came to tell us the exact truth about the Lord Jesus. He came to tell us about the things that you've been heard spoken, and I want to tell you now, I want to write it down so that you know the exact truth.
He told us, he quoted Jesus' words and gave us a purpose for the writing, that he wanted to tell us the truth, and the truth about that Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Like we were talking about this morning, he came to seek those who were lost and without him, who were lost in their sins. And so we know the purpose of Luke's writing. In chapter 9, Luke would tell us that when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Jesus' plan was not to stay here all the time, was not to just heal and to teach. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to tell us of the good news of the gospel. And Luke makes sure that he writes that Jesus knew there was no time that he did not know he was going to Jerusalem to the cross, that he was going there to be arrested, that he would be arrested and tried, and that he would be put to death on the cross. It's the story of the gospel. It's all we got. It's the best we got. And there's nothing better. And the good news that we find in Luke is a wonderful, wonderful story that we can change. A true account. I hate to even say story. It is the account of God's great love for us. So this morning in chapter 13, I want to look at one event. And they, you know, we're told that it's important to know the context. What has been going on? Jesus has been preaching and teaching. He's been traveling through the area of Galilee. He's headed to Jerusalem. Crowds are starting to gather. Back in chapter 12, in the beginning of chapter 12, the first verses say, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together, they were stepping on one another. And in that crowd pressing against him, with his disciples, he teaches his disciples, the crowds listen on. Sometimes he's telling his disciples a parable, the crowds don't get it. Now that's true today. Sometimes he's speaking to the crowd, he's healing, he's speaking, and people are attracted to him. And that's the stage we're at in Jesus' earthly ministry when we come to chapter 13. And chapter 13 begins now on the same occasion. I take that the scene hasn't changed too much, that maybe they've moved a bit, but there's still crowds. It's still in the open area. It's still in the public, and the crowds are there, and the disciples are there. Many people coming out to hear from Jesus. But what do they want to hear? What is it they want to hear? Well, we're told here that some want to know about the news in the newspaper. What do you think, Jesus, about the news that's going on? And would we do that today? Would we gather in the foyer a little later on if Jesus was here doing the speaking and ask him, what do you think about that Ebola that's going on? What do you think? And the news about what took place in Ottawa. These are important events. These are news events that are going on. And we'd want to know what he thinks about that. Watch how Jesus answers one of them as he says, they asked, some who were present reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. I'm not sure of the details here, but we can imagine. It's not much different than the news we hear today. Something terrible has happened. Someone has been killed for some reason, and the blood has been mixed with sacrifices. Pilate has ordered this. It's awful. We haven't advanced very far, have we? But listen to Jesus' answer. He says, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus turns it right to the gospel, turns it right to their need of having their sins dealt with. The news is the news, but let's talk about you. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. He brings up another of the news events. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? Do you think there's a standard here that there's some good people, bad things won't happen to them, and bad people, well, that's why those things happen. That's how a lot of the Jews were seeing it. And Jesus says, again, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And as so often, Jesus then tells them a parable. And this parable has to do with a fruit tree, and it's not bearing fruit. And the idea, the owner's kind of thinking, well, should we cut it down and let's get rid of it? And the owner's saying, no, let's work with it a little longer. Let's put some fertilizer on. Let's give it another year and see. But then, if it doesn't bear fruit, we'll cut it down. This parable that he's telling them, and what could that mean? And we have to think, if Jesus is always relating to the gospel, is this relating to the gospel? Is this relating to those Jews who are listening and will not believe on him? And Jesus has so long that he's going to be with them. And he's trying to let them know you have time. God is caring, and we see two things. We see the grace of God here, not willing to cut it down right away, but we also see there's an end of time. There's an end of time where God will say, no longer will I work with you. No longer will I fertilize you and teach you and preach and present to God. There's a time where it will be cut down and thrown into ashes. I don't know all about this parable. Sometimes parables are difficult to understand, but in the context, I think we're looking at the gospel about repentance, about sin, and about our need of a Savior. But what I want to get to this morning and what I want to look at, if we could, is in chapter 13, three verses, 10 to 13. Let's read them together. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. We've changed location. We've changed the situation now. It's not out in the open. This is a synagogue. This is the Sabbath. This is a Saturday. The Jews have gathered to worship, and Jesus is there. You need to imagine the people that went there that morning. Could you imagine that some of the Jews were wondering, wake up in the morning, they're having a bagel and some tea, and they're wondering, I wonder if I'll go to synagogue today. I wonder if I'll go. Maybe they pull out their November parchment to see who's speaking. I wonder who's speaking. That might make up their mind. We'll go. Look, it's that Jesus that's speaking. Every time he speaks, there's a commotion. We don't want to miss it because he's on the edge. This guy, we're not going to be bored if Jesus is going to be speaking. Let's go. Let's see what he has to say. That's how I picture that. That's in my mind. And so he's in the synagogue. Jesus is speaking. Remember, he spoke with authority that they had never heard before. He brought things alive from the scriptures like they had never heard before. And people were starting to follow him and believe him. That's why the crowds are out there. So here's what happens in that synagogue that Saturday morning. And there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. Wow. He didn't have to really say anything, did he? Doesn't have to say much. Can you imagine all the people looking? They knew this woman. 18 years, she's a woman of Abraham, she's a daughter of Abraham, she's a Jewish woman, probably been going to that synagogue for years, probably asked for prayers and probably had maybe some of the priests and maybe the rabbis pray with her, and that didn't stop her from going to worship. That didn't stop her from going again. Nothing had changed. There was a spirit, it says. You know, sometimes we want to dig deep into these things and we want to look and wonder, what could this disease be? You know, on today we'd say, well, did you have an MRI? Did you get this checked out? Did you get that? And we'd want to know, did you see a chiropractor? That would help. You know, maybe all these things, but that's not what we hear to hear today. That's not what we're looking at here today, and it's not where we want to go in our mind. We don't want to even get caught up with the fact that it was a Sabbath. Oh, we could spend hours on that and look all over about the law of the Sabbath. All I want us to think about today is this woman did nothing. Except when Jesus said, come over here. When Jesus saw her, he called her over, and she went. Isn't that a picture of the gospel? When Jesus calls, you have a response. You have a choice. We can read about all kinds of people in Scripture who didn't go over and didn't follow, wanted to hear him, wanted Jesus to do something for them, but didn't go over and trust him. This woman, by faith, went over. And she was healed. I think it's a wonderful picture of the gospel. We might think of the physical part of it, but I want to think about us today. Today, how does this apply to us today? Is there a connection that we could think about here this morning? I didn't notice anybody really bent over this morning, except we know that we were all carrying a burden and we are all bent over at one time. And Jesus, the physical part, is not the important part for us this morning. But what about those things that has us bent over that only Jesus can relieve us from? The Bible tells us that we all carry a burden of sin, a weight of sin, and we'll pay a penalty for that. And Jesus is offering to come and take that sin. He calls us. Come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden. Let me take that burden from you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He calls to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. And all he asks us is to respond by faith. Come over to him. Come and trust him. What prevents us today? You know, we hear about Ebola and we hear about a serious disease, and I'm not making light of it. Something we need to consider. But I think there's a couple of diseases already in our culture that we need to be very careful of. And one is affluenza, and the other is materialitis. You see, we have those things that keep us so busy that we think we can somehow be safe and comfortable on our own. If we work hard enough and put enough money away, we'll have safety for and be comfortable for later. We buy cars. I mentioned this. We buy cars with 30 airbags in it. How many airbags do we need? How safe can we be? Do you think that that's going to stop something terrible from happening? Comfort. We do everything to be comfortable. And I think it's those things that have us bent over from coming to faith in Jesus. In fact, if we go through the scriptures, watch who come to faith in Jesus. Sometimes it's our brokenness, our woundedness, our uncomfortable situation that allows us to hear his call. There are things that happen in people's lives that are terrible. And sometimes it's those things that will keep them from coming to Christ. They'll blame God, or they have trust issues. Something that happened as a child, maybe, or something that happened in their life, and they just don't know, can they trust Jesus? I'm here to say this morning, he's altogether trustworthy. He will never let you down.
One of the walking wounded, but the bleeding doesn't show. Behind the walls around her heart, none's allowed to go. It's been that way for so long now, she can't remember when. She can still hope for tomorrow, so instead she just pretends. When she thinks no one can see her, sometimes she'll crack the door, until she feels a fear again and locks it like before. Alone behind the windows, curtained with her pride, she'll once again embrace her pain and turn away inside. To give away her heart before had been her first mistake. She knows she shouldn't doubt him now, but there's just too much at stake. But still he keeps on calling, but she pretends she doesn't hear. He longs to touch and heal her, but she never lets him near. She's one of the walking wounded she's been searching for so long. Deep inside she's hoping all the fear she feels are wrong. Maybe he can give her all the love she's been denied. Maybe it will be alright if she lets him come inside. And she thinks it just might be alright to let him come inside.
This morning we have a message of divine intervention. You've heard about interventions. When a group of people will come to someone they love, they'll get together, friends and family, and they'll tell them. They'll share with them how much their behavior, destructive behavior, how much the direction that they're going hurts them. And they really do it to
to try to turn them into another direction, to try to rescue them. When we have divine intervention, that God sent His only Son to us so He could turn us around. He would tell us where we're headed, be honest and truthful with us, and give us a glorious way back home. We have an example in this woman that when you hear Him call, just go over. Just let Him save you. Most my life I've been like this. Played it safe and only wished that just one time I'd take that chance, let go and let it fall. But it's hard to change the way you've been. As a child, the things you've seen, the subtle scars that leave their mark and stay with you when you're grown. Like the bent over woman
on the sailboat down the sea,
the sandals of the Savior, she reached out and saved her from years of looking at feet. Now she's free indeed. Now there have been times, though far too few, that I have felt so close to you. I close my eyes and I can feel the warmth from your love's glow. But all too soon I leave that place. I look around and miss your face. The moment's gone, and once again I'm bent and looking down. But like a bent over woman on the Sabbath, she looked down to see the sandals of the Savior. She reached out and saved her from years of looking at feet. We're like a bent over woman on the day that we first believed. The Spirit moved in, His blood washed the sin, and the Son, He set us free. We're like a bent over woman on the day that we first believed. Spirit moved in, His blood washed the sin, and the Son, He set us free. Now we're free indeed.
Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You for coming into this world. Thank You for being obedient to the Father's will. Thank You, Holy Spirit, who abides in us and works among us and helps us to hear that call when Jesus says, come here. We pray this morning that we would listen intently, that we would follow You, Jesus, by faith. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, there's that time when it's the first time in a person's life that they recognize that bridge that has been built just for them to walk across, to take Your hand, and to be saved. And to have that burden lifted from their backs, from their shoulders, from their hearts, and to be free indeed. Thank You, Jesus, for offering that to us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. And be with us now. Go with each one into each home, each family, and may we be ready with an answer for the hope that's in us, to give it when asked, to tell of the lovely Jesus. Amen.